WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is hiking tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Tariffs will double from the current rate of 25% to 50%. Those price increases could make a can of soup, a dishwasher, a car, and lots of other products more expensive.
Senate Republicans are set to meet on what the president calls his big, beautiful budget bill a day after Elon Musk deemed the package a disgusting abomination. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Breaking news, Elon Musk and I agree with each other.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
He's entitled to that opinion. We're going to proceed.
There are plans to remove names like Harvey Milk, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Harriet Tubman from Navy ships, military bases, and landmarks. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
The Defense Department confirmed the secretary is reviewing names to ensure they represent the, quote, warrior ethos the Trump administration values.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Another push for new gun violence measures. Wisconsin Democrats and advocates are proposing a package of gun safety bills. They introduced these bills Tuesday that would institute universal background checks, reinstate a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases, and add red flag laws. All proposals that have broad bipartisan support across the country and have been introduced here in Wisconsin before. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for American children. It's been that way for years now. Lindsay Busher from Moms Demand Action Wisconsin.
To every parent, whether you're here in Madison or in Green Bay or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Superior, I hope you feel hopeful because this package is for you.
From 2014 to 2023, the gun death rate increased 34% in the U.S. Here in Wisconsin, it rose 54%. During that time, Republicans repealed Wisconsin's 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun, which had been in place for about four decades. Senator Chris Larson.
As anyone could have predicted, and many of us did, gun violence has risen as a result of it.
Daryl Morin, head of Forward Latino.
In 2022, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we had 830 gun deaths. 277 of those were homicides. The overwhelming majority, 529 were Wisconsinites who took their own life.
Over the last five or so years, Democrats have introduced dozens of gun safety bills. But Republicans control which ones get hearings and, of course, which get passed. So the big question is, will any Republicans get on board? State Senator Deb Indraka.
Some of them say they support some of these measures. That's why we have public hearings. It's shameful that none of these have ever been called up.
We reached out to Speaker Robin Voss to ask if he had any comment on the new bills, but at the time of this recording, we haven't heard back. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Reds wrapping up their three-game series today. Last night, Cincinnati winning 4-2, ending the Brewers' eight-game winning streak. Pat Murphy said the crew needed more than just a couple of hits from Christian Yelich and a solo home run shot by Sal Frelick.
Everybody's got to contribute, and we had some holes in there tonight. We only mustered up five hits or whatever we did, and that's not enough, especially when you only drew two walks, I think. You know, you got to do something else to create offense. Credit to their pitching staff, to Hunter Green and their bullpen, and great play by Friedel at the end of the game to change the game. You play to the last pitch, and, you know, he made the play.
NFL, OTAs, the Packers' Kenny Clark revealing he had surgery in January after playing all last season with a broken toe.
I heard it in the Brazil game.
What's the surgery? Did you have a screw put in?
Nah, I had a bunion, bone spur.
That's defensive end Kenny Clark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and
Agreed.
Thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based stand-up comedian Brian Hicks and Civic Media-based talk show host Todd Alba, who will take a Nightlight quiz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, June 4th, 2025. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, Parker Olson standing by in Madison as well, coming up in this hour. We will talk a bit about the gig economy and making sure that it works for everybody, not just for employers who might be looking to shirk their responsibilities to the people who do the work for them by referring to them as independent contractors. There's a bill that was considered in the legislature yesterday by a committee, and we'll look at whether it's something that can help the situation with access to benefits or if it simply perpetuates the ongoing unfairness for some workers in this system. That's coming up. Brittany Merlo is out today. I can tell you that it's still smoky, still hazy around here, a little foggy, much more sunshine than we've had over the past few days here, but still humid. We're going to get to the mid to upper 70s in parts of Wisconsin today. A couple of nice days ahead before another chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in to help kick off the start of the weekend, but not rain for the whole weekend, so we should be okay there. Time to do our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. You should be familiar with this by now. You should have that Civic Media app downloaded, and if you don't, head over to your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever you get your apps. Get the Civic Media app. On the app, you can call up any Civic Media station and listen to it. Unless there's some kind of licensed thing, like you can't listen to Packers games, you know, over the app. But so many other things on our music stations and on our news and talk stations. Pick a station. Listen, find something new and fun. And we're glad some of you have found us through the Civic Media app. And on these Text to Win contests, when you call up any station, there's a button you can use to call that show, that station. There's a button to leave a voice note. And there's a button to send a text. And that's what we want you to use, is hit that text button. And then text in the hour's keyword, spelled correctly, and just the word, nothing else. And that is your entry into our contest. Each hour, four times a day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., there will be different keywords for you to text in, and you can win that hour's prize. But then every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a lovely stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, and a little gas money to get you there. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. That said, let's get to this hour's keyword. Today's keyword for the 7 a.m. hour only for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets is grill. Grill, G-R-I-L-L, grill. Text that using the Civic Media app to us. You'll be entered for that pair of Brewers tickets for this hour, and you'll be entered for the grand prize drawings at the end of the contest as well. Now, there's a limit. You've got only till the end of this hour to text the keyword. And then we clear the slates and we get set for your next chance to win at 11 a.m. So, again, you have about 50 minutes, a little less than that, to get on the phone, get that app downloaded, and text GRILL, G-R-I-L-L, as part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All right, well, with Brittany out, let me see if I can bring up what Rob is sharing with us from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton, he writes. It's partly sunny and 55 degrees. We got an inch and a quarter of rain. Many farmers call it a million-dollar rain. It was really dry. It's been 3 weeks since the last good soaking. Rob says, I got 4 yards mowed yesterday morning before the rain and the storms came in around 2 o'clock in the Tigerton area. Grass will really be growing after this rain. And he says, today is birthday eve for me. So, Rob, I hope you're going to be treating yourself really good with a cake or something along those lines. We had to make a birthday call last evening to my in-laws. Sherry's parents yesterday turned 80 and 85. And, of course, are long since retired from their work on the dairy farm there. We were talking with Hans Breitenmoser yesterday about the changes in dairy farming over the years. This being June Dairy Month, there are a lot of dairy farm tours that are out there, a lot of dairy farm breakfasts. And all of these automated, almost robotic milking parlors now that are more efficient, cleaner. Such a different time from when Sherry was growing up. Sherry was the oldest of six. And the kids would get up at 5 a.m. and they would, you know, milk 72 cows, clean the barn and everything, and then get on the school bus. And when they got off the school bus, they'd do their homework and then they'd milk 72 cows again, you know, in the stanchions. And if the power went out, which didn't happen often, but if the power went out, you know, it was a stool and a bucket. And it's a lot different now in just these few years. And so, again, happy birthday to Billy and Betty. And thanks for all you've done, both as dairy farmers and as wonderful parents and in-laws. Appreciate it so very much. And again, for the rest of you, for June Dairy Month, get out to one of these farm visits. Get out to a farm, a dairy breakfast if you can. Tony on YouTube, have you heard the song Blame Canada? That's what I think when I see all this smoke. Yes, although I don't know that we can play it on the radio, but yes, I understand the song Blame Canada. And I understand the sentiment, but I also know there are plenty of folks in Canada that wish it weren't happening to them either. I mean, we talk about the Northwoods here. They have serious Northwoods up there. It goes for a long, long ways before you hit the tundra. And unfortunately, so much of it is, again, on fire. Some would say the climate seems to be changing or something, that you get these longer dry spells that lead to bigger fires. We'll save that for another time. Maybe we'll talk about that with Melissa Baldoff in our next hour when we do our weekly climate check. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Three different newsletters now. If you heard me talking to Christina Laurie yesterday, we had been talking about her new newsletter about some of the good feature stories behind Wisconsin sports. And it had been a monthly newsletter. So well received, it's now becoming a weekly sports newsletter. So she'll have that on Saturdays. I'll have my weekly newsletter on Sundays with the creative name Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about the week in Wisconsin politics. And, of course, Christina puts together our Monday through Friday newsletter as well, and you can sign up for all those at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. I want to talk just a little bit about the gig economy, and it's because of some work that was done in a committee of the State Assembly yesterday. I'm sorry, State Senate yesterday. The Senate committee took up a bill that would create portable benefit accounts for contract employees of companies like DoorDash and Uber, other couriers, drivers, and people who make up that particular part of the gig economy. Now, the gig economy is being sold to us as freedom and flexibility. And that is true to a degree, but along with that freedom and flexibility should come some responsibility. And that's where I have my concern. So I want to start by reading a bit from the folks at WisPolitics who put this together, saying that the committee yesterday split along party lines over legislation that would create these portable benefit accounts. Under the bill, Workers could access benefits such as retirement accounts and insurance. It would allow the companies to contribute up to 4% of a driver's quarterly earnings, and the contract employee could also put money into the account. The bill also makes clear, however, that contract workers are not employees of the delivery network companies for the purposes of workers' compensation insurance, minimum wage laws, and unemployment insurance. The bill is sponsored by Franklin Republican Senator Julian Bradley, who was also the committee chair, and he said that thousands of people in the state have chosen to be contract employees, and they want access to these benefits. He says drivers for these industries played important roles during the pandemic. We need these drivers, he said. We depend on them, and now we're trying to help the people who helped us during a difficult time. Democratic State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe of Cottage Grove said in so many words, and this is me paraphrasing, not her, said something along the lines of, oh, please, saying we don't need a bill that states that companies can provide benefits to workers if they want, or that they can provide insurance if they want. They can do that already without putting it into law. But that does get to the tricky part of the situation here, and that would be, who is a contract worker and who is an employee? Because if you're a contract worker, if you're a contractor, independent, freelancer, whatever you want to call it, you're doing work for a company, but you're not, for example, covered under that company's policy if there's an accident, for example. You're using your own vehicle because you don't get a company car or a company truck. You might have bought your own liability insurance. You might not. There's all these other costs that a lot of folks don't think about when they're thinking only of the, quote, freedom and flexibility and putting cash in their pockets free and clear and other things like that. There's a whole reason why we have employment law. Employment law isn't designed to stick it to employers, you know, whatever big business groups will tell you. It is designed to guard against predatory employers. And our history, not just Wisconsin history, not just American history, but human history shows us that, sadly, there are bosses who would treat their workers as chattel if they could. You get hurt, you get sick, you got somebody sick in the family, you're making poverty wages after all the employer's deductions. Well, all of that must have been your fault, you know, buyer beware, as opposed to an employer who takes care of the people who take care of them. Because there are no earnings. There is no profit margin without the workers who actually get things done. There's a lot to be said for management. There's a lot to be said for stockholders. But if you rely on labor to get something done, then those laborers deserve a fair shake. And this isn't to say there isn't a place for independent contractors or contract employees. But one thing I know, dating back to my time in the Senate 15 years ago and long before that, it's been clear that for a long time, our country suffers from worker classification abuse as a way to avoid paying fair wages, extending benefits, ensuring worker safety, and much more. Which takes us back to this particular bill, where I do understand the sentiment behind it, that if there is a way for these so-called gig employees to finally have access to retirement accounts, insurance, and other benefits, that sounds like it would be a positive thing. But I also know from experience, a lot of young gig workers, the last thing they're thinking about is their retirement. And they're also thinking they're young and bulletproof and they don't need health insurance. They don't need all these other benefits. They just want freedom, flexibility, and cash in their pockets. Which brings us back to employment law. Maybe the employee isn't thinking about the need for these things, but we know how much they can cost when things go wrong or when employers abuse their workers. And yes, they are workers. Even if they're contractors, if they're doing work for you, they're a worker. And they deserve a certain level of treatment, whether they appreciate it or not. Live from the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes. Time now for our check-in. Every other week, we get an opportunity to find out what's going on at the Marathon County Public Library, both here downtown and throughout the county. And very happy to welcome back to the program Robin Vargas. Robin, good morning.
Good morning.
Into the month of June.
Hooray.
Summertime.
Finally here.
I know it. And again, it's sort of we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, that things change a little bit once the kids end their school years. And I was just saying to you, and you were saying as well, that the kids still finishing things off, so not quite into that level of change yet at the library, right?
Next week is the big week where it all kind of kicks off.
What changes starting next week?
Well, it definitely gets a lot busier. We have a lot more families stopping in, and we're so excited about that. We also have our summer library program that kicks off in June, so that started yesterday. So kids age birth through 18 can come on, get an activity book, and start reading books to complete challenges and then earn free books.
How young is the youngest? You say birth through 18. I don't think they're quite ready at that point to get the book in their hands, but how young do they go?
No, they can start.
Oh,
they
really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess they get a little help.
Yes, exactly. They won't read the books themselves, but have them read to them. But yeah, that counts too. We want babies and infants to hear language, and the more they're read to, the better. And so, yeah, absolutely. We want those little ones to participate too. So come on in and sign them up.
What is the challenges? I mean, in terms of, is there like a level that you're trying to hit there? What's involved
for sure
in that?
So we do have it broken up into birth through second grade is kind of on one sheet. And then we have grades 3 through 5 and then grades 6 through 12. But basically it's going to be at least the birth through K2 or second grade. We'll talk about that one. Kind of have some paint palettes, and there are things like read a book about nature or read a book with a color in the title or read a book that was published this year. They're not crazy, crazy challenges. We're just trying to get kids to maybe branch out a little bit, maybe pick up something that they wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. And encourage them to keep reading during the summer when they're not in school.
That's fantastic. And again, if you just don't read at all, I mean, all the study for the 9 months of the school year can go away. And
yeah,
then you have to almost lose a lot of it.
Exactly. Yep. So we really want to keep them going so that they don't lose any of what they've worked so hard to gain. Some of our challenges for grades 6 through 12 are... They also include things like attend a library event or find the hidden object in the YA area. So, you know, you got some fun scavenger hunt clues. Maybe ones like go on a bike ride. And for those grades, we do have some alternative activities. If you're like, I don't have a bike or I don't want to go for a bike ride,
right.
You know, you can do another activity in the packet to you know, make up for that one. But yeah, we're really excited about those. And then if in whichever age group you're in, if you complete both of your challenges, you can be entered in for a drawing at the end of summer for some big prizes. We've got some, at least for the teens, I know we've got like really, really nice watercolors and markers and really good art supplies. The summer library program theme is Color Our World. And so a lot of it has to do with color and art, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And how do you get involved? Do you sign up at the library?
Yeah, sort of. There really isn't any sign up involved until the end, but you just come on in and pick up an activity book or a packet, depending on your age. And once you finish those challenges, then come on back in, stop and see us, and we'll get you your prizes.
Fantastic. So that's a great way to start off the summer and start off the month of June as well. Anything else special that's coming up as we get now into the summer months?
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything special other than our many, many special programs.
They're always special.
We'll talk about our programs, but that's really the big change within the library itself is just it gets busy and we love it. We love to see those families coming in, but...
And what else is happening, whether here downtown or obviously there's always a lot going on at some of the branches throughout the county as well.
Yeah, so we'll start off here in Wausau. We're really excited about our kickoff party on Monday, June 9th. I think I briefly mentioned that last time I was here, but it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be down at Oak Island Park from 10 a.m. to noon. We're just going to have a ton of things happening. We're going to have a children's musician, Duke Otherwise. He'll be performing. He's great. We're going to have a petting zoo. We're going to have the North Central Wisconsin Master Gardeners come. They're going to do some flower planting that kids can take with them. We're going to have some face painting, maybe some popcorn. So come on down 10 a.m. to noon. It's going to be a party. We're really excited.
Fantastic. And we'll cross our fingers that the weather cooperates.
Yes, exactly. Yep. The event of rain, we'll move on inside to our Wausau location.
Still, that's
hopefully be outside.
Yeah, that sounds like a great chance to get outside, and especially this time of year to be able to get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather here that we get in North Central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What else is on the itinerary with the activities?
We do have some other outdoor activities, quite a few actually, but coming up this weekend, we have two story times that are going to be outside of the library. So we have one at Rib Mountain State Park on Saturday, June 7th. We have one at 10 a.m. and then repeating it at 11 a.m., depending on which one works better for your schedule. It is the free fun weekend for the Wisconsin State Park, so there's no admission charge.
Right.
So come on in, have story time, and then explore the park a little bit. And then also on Sunday, June 8th, we're having a story time at the Kronenwetter Farmers Market.
Oh, wow.
So this is their kickoff Sunday, their first one of the year. And so we'll do a story time there at 10 a.m. We're excited about that one, too.
Getting out and about, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yep.
Anything going on with the branches throughout the county?
For sure. This week, both in Edgar and Mosinee, they're both having a community plant swap. So folks can come on in, pick up a new plant, drop something off if you have some extras. Maybe just want to, you know, see what else is new and maybe exciting that you could add to your own garden. So anytime the branches are open, you can stop by there to swap some plants. They also, next week, both Edgar and Mosinee again, are doing a paper snail craft for kids. Anytime the branch is open, they can stop on in and do that. For other performers next week, we're excited. We have Tom Pease coming back. Always a fan favorite. Yeah, so we have him on June 10th. He'll be at our Hatley location at 10:30 a.m. And then also June 10th, he'll be at George Street Park in Rothschild at 1:30 p.m. So we're excited for that. He will be coming to Wausau in July. So don't worry if you can't make it.
We'll stop on by, whether here in downtown Wausau, any of the branches as well, and check out mcpl.us. Mm-hmm. And you always get great information on your Facebook page as well. So lots of ways to keep up to speed on what's going on at the library.
Absolutely.
Robin Vargas, Marathon County Public Library, thank you very much. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The average Wisconsin farm probably doesn't think much about artificial intelligence impacting their farming operation, but if you're a cattle producer, it already has. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says last week there was an information breach that hit social media, a false report about screwworm in the United States that turned into a downturn immediately for cattle prices.
Actually, last week on Tuesday, we had a false article get posted on the internet and came out through the socials that screwworm was found in cattle in Missouri. And they just dropped the market that day, just with that concern, what would happen to consumer demand, things of that nature. It took about an hour, and then the USDA came out and said, this isn't our report, this is not true. And the media outlets who had it on their website pulled it because it was just a perfect copy of what a USDA press release would look like.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says with the advent of even more AI-generated information, he's worried that trying to understand or vet what is accurate information versus inaccurate information is going to become a big challenge for trading firms. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not looking too bad so far. Numbers are next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese dropped 3 to 184. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters, 193 and three quarters, while butter dropped a penny to 250 a pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 17, 1905 a hundredweight. July corn's up 2, December new crop up 2 right now at 441. July soybeans up a penny, November new crop up a penny, currently at 1022. July wheat's unchanged at 536 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian-singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is underway, and this hour's keyword is grill for a pair of Brewers tickets. If you'd like to be in the running for a pair of Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings, which are some lovely stays in the Wisconsin Dells area and or county, then use that Civic Media app and send us the keyword grill before the end of this hour. As I was slurping yet again during the commercial break through my coffee cup, it occurred to me that I never see young Parker Olson here. Imbibing in coffee, but it also occurs to me that he works at an actual radio station, unlike the Lake Wasota studios here next to my kitchen coffee maker. And they probably have rules against, you know, beverages and fluids near a million-dollar audio board. Or are you not a coffee drinker during the course of the show?
I am not a coffee drinker. I don't really do coffee at all. So
what do you do? What do you do in the morning?
I wake up, I take a shower.
I thought you were going to say like Mountain Dew or something else that your morning beverage.
Oh, no. I got my water bottle here.
A water bottle?
Yeah.
That's so ridiculously healthy.
Stay hydrated, man. We're going to start doing hydration checks during breaks, Pat.
Wow. That is so healthy. I'm so shocked.
That's right.
Anyway.
Hey.
Well, not you personally, a man of your age. Young
okay,
men,
fair.
It's look, I'm the guy who would, you know, when I first started college and saw all the young men were drinking Mountain Dew, and so I started drinking Mountain Dew, and in my dorm room there was a shelf, you know, above the bunks or above the beds.
Sure.
And I'd put each empty can there, and there had to be a couple hundred cans that were all stacked up, you know, like a wall. Basically, I was building that big, beautiful wall.
Sure.
But out of Mountain Dew cans. And eventually took them all to what was called back at the time the Golden Goat, and you'd feed all these cans in and you'd get money back, and it was kind of depressing. But anyway, it was Mountain Dew. Then it was Diet Pepsi when I met Sherry, because she was a Diet Pepsi drinker.
Sure.
Then while I was in the legislature, we were studying taxes and who pays taxes and who doesn't, and realized that Coca-Cola pays its share of Wisconsin corporate income taxes. Pepsi didn't. So I was like, well, I'm done with Pepsi. So then we were Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time. By the way, since that time, Republicans have basically gotten rid of the corporate income tax. So, I mean, you have to pay everything now instead of, you know, multi-billion dollar corporations paying anything for the privilege of doing business in Wisconsin. Anyway, so there we were, Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time until we were like 45 years old or so. And this was during our 3-year stint, you know, living in the Caribbean, and on an island, everything is way more expensive. Groceries, especially soda. And that's when we were like, maybe we should be grown-ups now and have this coffee thing. And it turns out we actually like it. It wasn't until we were in our late 40s that we were coffee drinkers. So long as we can put enough, you know, flavored creamers in there, as long as it doesn't taste like, you know,
coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah. As long as you can make it taste as unrecognizable as possible, the coffee.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that and, you know, whatever else Todd Alba puts in that cup that he's enjoying, as we call him up now a little bit early across the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd, affectionately known by Tony on YouTube as the Todd Father.
Todd Father. So, I like it.
Todd Father, welcome. And what about you? Well, you have talked about, and by the way, say good morning, because I'm not sure if you're muted or not. Are you there? No, I'm not hearing you at all. So I'm going to, not hearing a peep out of you. You are as quiet as it gets. So you work on that, because I'm still not hearing a word out of you. So you just keep prattling on while you look at your settings. Todd is actually,
I know.
Todd has actually worked in the coffee industry. He's worked with Big Coffee as it might be.
Well, yeah, I guess for one.
But
my first job in coffee was Starbucks. Out of default, I needed a job, and they were hiring. And they actually had a pretty good training program, to be honest. But then I learned about all the nuances of coffee and the fact that coffee, like wine, has about 160 different profile flavors. If you have really good coffee, you can kind of be nuanced. I don't have the palate of a Q-grade cupper, as they say, but I have been able to get like a strawberry or brown sugar or something like that. But most people don't know this because most coffee is low-grade quality, and they over-roast it or burn it to cover up the bad flavors of coffee, the low-grade quality stuff. And then people say, oh, coffee is just bitter and burnt. That's because most of it is. So here's the quick secret. Don't buy coffee that's like all dark and shiny and it says it's going to raise your hair and, you know, light you up, because that's just all marketing. And usually I'm very susceptible to marketing, but in coffee, I have learned.
I'm going to start calling you Liz Rosenberg because we're doing coffee talk, just like the Saturday Night Live skit from Mike Myers. Welcome to Coffee Talk. This is amazing.
I'm filling in for Paul Baldwin. He's got a Chicago. He's in Palm Beach resting comfortably. Thank you very much.
This was literally just a little throwaway thing before I got into the main topic here. But now I realize I have so much to learn from you. You're my new coffee Sherpa.
Well, thank you. Yes. I had the honor of sharing a studio on Friday when we were filling in for you with Parker, and he is remarkably awake and up and honest for only drinking water. And I heard earlier, yes, he is remarkably healthy. I wish I could be like that.
I know. Tony saying on YouTube, wait, water? How do you do that? You know, I think he's much more of a Red Bull and vodka guy myself. I could be wrong, but it works. So. There's our coffee talk for today. Hey, this is when we would normally do our homeroom segment where we talk about education in Wisconsin. And I asked Todd to come on a bit early, and there was one education matter that I wanted to get his thoughts on. Now, we just had State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire on the program. Was it last week or the week before? Talking about being on the Assembly Education Committee. Since that time, he has introduced a bill about voucher schools and the enrollment caps, because right now there is an enrollment cap so that, you know, only so much state money can go to school vouchers. But what a lot of folks don't know, and we've mentioned it in passing a couple of times in this segment, but we haven't really focused on it, is that those caps are set to go away. Republicans have set it up that these caps will go away and there would be no limit on taxpayer dollars that would move away from other services into voucher schools. And so Representative Christian Phelps has introduced a bill to maintain the existing enrollment caps on the voucher program. The bill was introduced along with Representatives Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay, Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, and Chris Larson of Milwaukee. Senator Larson will join us next Monday, by the way. And Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein will join us next Thursday as we start booking guests for next week's show. But Todd, I do think that this is something that folks really underappreciated, was the fiscal ticking time bomb that Republicans had left in the education budget for our state.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad the folks that you listed are putting forth legislation to try to address it. Hopefully, maybe some Republicans will listen to this, although I'm kind of doubtful of my former party, because I know what their agenda is. But I really hope that people listening to your show and others really look at this and understand it, because as you said, if there's no caps, then you start getting the real outside interests, the national interests, who really do have, in my opinion, a war, an attack on public schools. And unfortunately, it has gotten even worse in the 10, 11 years since I worked in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. And that is, these national interests are now being merged with you know, Christian socialists or Christian social ideas.
Nationalists,
folks,
yeah.
Nationalists, yep. Thank you. And so they really feel that religious doctrine should be taught in schools. And I just don't think that's the way the country was set up. I don't think that's healthy. Look, if the local Lutheran church or the local Catholic church wants to have their own school, a parochial school, that's great. I got nothing against that. I have a lot of friends that went to Catholic parochial school, K through eight. But to have these huge, basically to suggest that a high school the size of one of Eau Claire's public high schools would suddenly become under this, and the enrollment could go way up, and then you have your local school board really doesn't have much, if any, control over what is taught there. Suddenly now you have kids being taught religious doctrine that might not believe in that at all. So I think Representative Phelps is right. I think he's being fair in that he's not saying we're going to do away with these schools. He's just saying, hey, there's a cap. Let's keep it there. I think that's a good balance between public and private.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, that you are now seeing in some states where Republicans are saying, ooh, maybe this thing's growing a little too much because it's pulling money away from, you know, roads and healthcare and everything else out there. Now, look, there are others who are happy to do that. They want to see an end to public education overall. But the fiscal irresponsibility of it, to me, really seems to stand out because of what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now with a Trump budget bill that would blow another $3 trillion hole in the deficit. Essentially, between that at the federal level and even considering getting rid of enrollment caps at the state level, I feel like it gives up the game that your former party, which people did see as fiscally responsible once upon a time, is anything but these days.
Yeah, I think I heard you talking to somebody yesterday about this. Or no, I guess I can't remember. More coffee, Todd. Somebody on our network was talking yesterday. It was Jane saying, I can't believe I'm finding myself agreeing with Rand Paul, of all people, more often. And, you know, you do have a couple of folks like Rand Paul, maybe not all for the right reasons, but they bring up this point, exactly what you said, that, look, there's nothing conservative, traditionally conservative politically, about some of these things in this reconciliation bill. Amongst them, of course, as you said, education. And you say it, you do such a great job on this show highlighting public education. I think this is just another call for everyone listening this morning. If you care about your local public school, call your state representative, call your state senator. And you know this, Pat, as a former legislator, I'm keenly aware as a former legislative flack. You know, when you get a call from half a state away from outside your district, if you're not busy, you'll probably take the call and be polite about it. But that call's not going to your boss. That your boss isn't going to really care about that call. It's the people that they represent. So call your local, whoever your state representative is, whoever your state senator, say, look, I care about public schools. I'm on board with this bill being authored by Representative Phelps. And I think we should keep a balance. And that does matter.
It does matter. And it really is just a sense of calling up your legislator and saying to the staff person, and saying it very nicely, that you're sick of these referendums, and that you now understand the reason that there's endless referendums is that Republican legislators have been underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation for 16 years. So what are you doing lifting the caps and sending even more money to private religious schools when you're underfunding the public schools and forcing endless referendums? It's that concise. It's that easy to understand. If you're sick of the referendums, then you have to understand the underfunding and how it would be made much worse if even more money is shifted to voucher schools. And that's why Representative Phelps has introduced this bill. And I'm sure we will be talking about that with him in the near future, along with Senator Larson, like I said, who's going to be joining us next Monday. Hey, a quick reminder here that you can follow what my team is doing over at Up North News. Just head to upnorthnewswi.com. You can follow us on our newsletters, through social media, through our website, and, of course, mornings right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlong.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports 1 in 5 have political or financial ties to the president. Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of 6 counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The Ecosystem Mission Area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Life is so strange when you don't know how can you tell where you're going to. You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't die.
And good morning once again, everyone. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. A very pleasant start here on this Wednesday morning. Some sun is shining. A few clouds out there, but very comfortable, 54 degrees as we get set for what should be a much quieter weather day. In fact, we expect sunny skies to be pretty much the norm for the rest of the day, and a high in the mid-70s before all is said and done. And that's good news for me, because we have, and good news for you as well, because we have scheduled later today a makeup of the high school baseball playoff game marathon in action, a Division III regional semifinal, as the Marathon Red Raiders looking to work their way towards a trip to the state tournament. They still have to win 4 games, but been a very good regular season for Marathon, and they will try to start their playoff run to state against Cadott later today. Coverage will begin with the pregame show at 4:50 and the first pitch at 5 p.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also, real quickly, want to remind you that this hour, you have another chance to win in the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest here on 98.9 WXCO. This hour's keyword is grill. G-R-I-L-L. Grill. And real easy to win, a pair of club levels tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers in action for this hour. Just download the Civic Media app, find 98.9 WXCO, and then open it up and use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the keyword grill for your chance to be part of the drawing to win in this hour's statewide contest. So again, just for this hour, in a few minutes, it closes up. So get that done right now. Grill in the Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest here on 98.9 WXCO. Wanted to talk a little bit about a story I kind of touched on last week. I had mentioned that there is a search for a new president at the University of Florida, and their board had decided that Santa J. Ono, the former president of the University of Michigan, was going to be their choice to become the new president of Florida. However, there had been a lot of conservatives in Florida that did not want Ono to be approved. They say that when he was at Michigan, they forwarded DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion at the University of Michigan. God forbid. Oh, just you get chills thinking about it, right? But the point that I made last week is we had seen Ono backslide, trying to say the things that he needed to say so those conservatives did not kibosh his appointment as the president of the University of Florida. And even beyond what I talked about last week, he'd gone even further in recent days. Ono said yesterday, quote, "I am here to ensure that DEI never returns to the University of Florida," end quote. Talk about a gutless wonder. Talk about cowardice. Talk about saying anything to get his job. Again, during an era where we need guts, not cowards, this guy, Ono, former president, University of Michigan, the choice of the Board of Regents to become the next president of the University of Florida, backtracking as fast as he possibly can from DEI in order to try to get that job. I am actually happy to say, normally I would never say this, but I'm happy to say that the bigotry of the conservatives in the state of Florida won the day, because Ono's bid to assume the presidency of the University of Florida ended yesterday when the state university system of Florida's Board of Governors voted not to approve his appointment. It's a bad thing that the Florida conservatives got a victory here in their continuing battle against diversity, equity, and inclusion. But this man did not deserve the position by showing the complete lack of character, the complete lack of courage, the complete lack of guts that he did by saying, "I am here to ensure that DEI never returns to the University of Florida." Trying to out-conservative the conservatives here. Trying to out-hate the haters. It's pathetic. It was pathetic. It was a pathetic effort, and he got what he deserved. But in the end, this idea that these folks continuing to push, and push against the idea of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that the idea that the Republicans and the conservatives talking about, well, only it's all going to be based on merit. When you look at position after position after position within the Trump administration, when it comes to lack of merit, it comes to who do you know? Who's in your bloodline? Who won the genetic lottery? I got to think that at some point the pedestal is going to swing the other way, because there's right and there's wrong. And what they're doing here is wrong. And at some point, it's going to have to change the other way. But I got to say, the complete lack of courage, the complete lack of guts shown by Santa J. Ono in his bid to become the president of the University of Florida was pathetic, to say the least. And there's another aspect of this kind of thinking that I want to talk about in the next hour concerning the Department of Defense and the changing of names on ships to, again, have this anti-DEI crusade taken to the next level. So then we're going to talk about that coming up in the next hour. Also coming up in the next hour, we will have our number for the day quiz at the very end of the program. We'll let Ian know what the subject is coming up in our next segment, and then we'll have that to wrap up the program in just about an hour's time. But another hour to come with Pat Kreitlow. We have an information update coming up next, and then we'll be back with more Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The time is almost 8 o'clock. Good morning from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's just doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This is on top of an existing 25% tariff that was already in place for a couple of months here. We're essentially just adding another 25% on top of that.
The federal government's moved in the case of the Egyptian national accused of an attack on Israeli hostage supporters. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Homeland Security and ICE are taking the family of suspected Boulder, Colorado terrorist and illegal alien Mohammed Soleiman into ICE custody.
That includes his wife and five children. Severe storms in the Midwest have spawned flash flooding and suspected tornadoes. Sophia Winfrey headed for her basement in Independence, Missouri.
When I was downstairs, I saw a lot of things passing my window, like tree branches, and I heard a lot of sounds like breaking.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.